Task 2. You will hear part of a program. Read through the notes below and complete them by filling in the gaps with the exact words you hear. Gap 0 is an example. Now read the notes.
Well, debunking youth stereotypes, our guest is a senior lecturer in youth development and youth mentoring at the University of Auckland. Pat Bullen says all too often young people are stigmatised and discriminated against by blanket acceptance that adolescents are rude, lazy, self-entitled risk takers who need fixing. Dr. Bullen's ongoing research is painting a different picture. Pat Bullen's in the Auckland studio. Very good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you. So we've been discussing millennials born 1980 on, also Gen Y, depending on your terminology. Gen Z kicks in around 1995, the births from then on. But is what you're talking about a life stage, irrespective of which particular generation?
Absolutely. That's totally to the point, is that it is irrespective of which generation we're referring to. And it really is about how we talk about and think about adolescence. And the challenge is we often think about them and talk about them in very negative ways without having it based in any evidence or facts.
Are there comparisons in what you've heard from the millennial generation across to Gen Z? You know, the sort of the snowflake reference, or, you know, always asking why in the workplace, or wanting promotions before they're due, or the what about me's. Do those kinds of stereotypes that I've just ticked off translate from one generation to the next, or sometimes do they get attached to a particular generation?
I think that's a really interesting question, and I'm not sure I have 100% of the answer. But I think in general, maybe what we're seeing is perhaps a difference in the way young people may be viewing the world, perhaps because of the context in which they're developing, the uncertainties around the future, around climate change and issues around that. And there have been others that have looked at this and conducted research in this space and are really perhaps suggesting that many of our young people may be looking to a better world, a better future, and maybe questioning the way things have been going. And is that necessarily a bad thing?
Questioning and challenging. But the other thing that I find odd with the stereotypes that often contradict about, let's talk about a generation that's, say, in its 20s now, maybe early 30s. Some will be of one generation, some of another. The interesting thing is they don't just talk about it. They are doing things about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would totally agree with that.
Which would take us back to the boomers of the 60s, wouldn't it? Out doing marches and actively protesting and putting things into action.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your definition of adolescence, then, adolescence into early adulthood. What are the commonalities?
And I think that again, is a really good question. And a lot of people have different views around this. But I think if we think about it in a very broad sense, adolescence is the second decade of life. If we look at the Ministry for Youth Development and what they tend to define adolescence in New Zealand, it's young people between the ages of 12 and 24. And so that's a very broad age group to even think about the challenges that a 12-year-old may be experiencing versus the challenges of a 24-year-old. And their life experiences, of course, are very different.
However, we also know the full development of the adult brain. People are putting the age back as far as the early 30s for some.
I know.
Younger, thinking of Nathan Wallace's always insightful work, if you're the first-born girl, you might be relatively mature in an adult sense by your late teens, early 20s. If you're further down the chain and male, you might be in your early 30s. So there's a lot of fluidity, I guess, in what we are talking about. But for you developmentally, what are you talking about?
And so I think the most important thing, if we're thinking about developmentally across the board, regardless of whether we're talking about our social development or our cognitive development, including brain development, is that it very much is context specific. And so you just indicated that for firstborn versus males or females, their developmental trajectory may be different.
What's common, though, the fact that you're coming into adulthood, the fact that you're starting to take on adult responsibility, the fact that you're looking around you and having a vested interest in decisions that are being made?
And I think it's all of those things, absolutely. You know, so as we're seeing that as young people sort of progress through adolescence, their increasing ability to engage in society, particularly around their age and the brackets we put around at what age they can engage in what particular activities, they're becoming more able to make decisions about their own lives and their own directions that have significant implications in terms of what they do in the future and what they're able to achieve in the future. And so we see that society and socially, there's a lot of things that are influencing their trajectory in terms of their development. But embedded within that is also sort of their individualized, their perhaps individualized notions of themselves or their temperaments or their family and the influences of their social environments.
Now, listen again.
Well, debunking youth stereotypes, our guest is a senior lecturer in youth development and youth mentoring at the University of Auckland. Pat Bullen says all too often young people are stigmatised and discriminated against by blanket acceptance that adolescents are rude, lazy, self-entitled risk-takers who need fixing. Dr. Bullen's ongoing research is painting a different picture. Pat Bullen's in the Auckland studio. Very good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you. So we've been discussing millennials born 1980 on, also Gen Y, depending on your terminology. Gen Z kicks in around 1995, the births from then on. But is what you're talking about a life stage, irrespective of which particular generation?
Absolutely. That's totally to the point, is that it is irrespective of which generation we're referring to. And it really is about how we talk about and think about adolescence. And the challenge is we often think about them and talk about them in very negative ways without having it based in any evidence or facts.
Are there comparisons in what you've heard from the millennial generation across to Gen Z? You know, the sort of the snowflake reference or, you know, always asking why in the workplace or wanting promotions before they're due or the what about me's. Do those kinds of stereotypes that I've just ticked off translate from one generation to the next, or sometimes do they get attached to a particular generation?
I think that's a really interesting question, and I'm not sure I have 100% of the answer. But I think in general, maybe what we're seeing is perhaps a difference in the way young people may be viewing the world, perhaps because of the context in which they're developing, the uncertainties around the future, around climate change and issues around that. And there have been others that have looked at this and conducted research in this space and are really perhaps suggesting that many of our young people may be looking to a better world, a better future, and maybe questioning the way things have been going. And is that necessarily a bad thing?
Questioning and challenging. But the other thing that I find odd with the stereotypes that often contradict about, let's talk about a generation that's, say, in its 20s now, maybe early 30s. Some will be of one generation, some of another. The interesting thing is they don't just talk about it. They are doing things about
absolutely,
it.
Absolutely. I would totally agree
with
that.
Which would take us back to the boomers of the 60s, wouldn't it? Out doing marches and actively protesting and putting things into action.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your definition of adolescence then, adolescence into early adulthood. What are the commonalities?
And I think that again, is a really good question. And a lot of people have different views around this. But I think if we think about it in a very broad sense, adolescence is the second decade of life. If we look at the Ministry for Youth Development and what they tend to define adolescence in New Zealand, it's young people between the ages of 12 and 24. And so that's a very broad age group to even think about the challenges that a 12-year-old may be experiencing versus the challenges of a 24-year-old. And their life experiences, of course, are very different.
However, we also know the full development of the adult brain. People are putting the age back as far as the early 30s for some.
I know.
Younger, thinking of Nathan Wallace's always insightful work, if you're the firstborn girl, you might be relatively mature in an adult sense by your late teens, early 20s. If you're further down the chain and male, you might be in your early 30s. So there's a lot of fluidity, I guess, in what we are talking about. But for you developmentally, what are you talking about?
And so I think the most important thing, if we're thinking about developmentally across the board, regardless of whether we're talking about our social development or our cognitive development, including brain development, is that it very much is context specific. And so you just indicated that for firstborn versus males or females, their developmental trajectory may be different.
What's common, though, the fact that you're coming into adulthood, the fact that you're starting to take on adult responsibility, the fact that you're looking around you and having a vested interest in decisions that are being made?
And I think it's all of those things, absolutely. You know, so as we're seeing that as young people sort of progress through adolescence, their increasing ability to engage in society, particularly around their age and the brackets we put around at what age they can engage in what particular activities, they're becoming more able to make decisions about their own lives and their own directions that have significant implications in terms of what they do in the future and what they're able to achieve in the future. And so we see that society and socially, there's a lot of things that are influencing their trajectory in terms of their development. But embedded within that is also sort of their individualized, their perhaps individualized notions of themselves or their temperaments or their family and the influences of their social environments.
This is the end of task 2.